It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it was just announced that the one-of-a-kind pop culture slash rock and roll bookstore, Shake, Rattle, and Read, also known as the Book Box, is going to close this year, May 31st, after 50 years in business. You know what I'm talking about. It's the bookstore that stood out on North Broadway in the Uptown neighborhood. It grabbed crowds from the Aragon, from the Rib, from the Green Mill. Rick Addy has owned and operated the store for over 30 years, and he's getting set to retire. To close up shop on the bookstore, or probably better categorized as a pop culture museum. Rick Addy is my guest tonight on a download. Rick, good to see you. Sorry to hear this news. This is bad for Chicago.
Yes, it is bittersweet.
Let's talk about it, because I say, you know, you've owned and operated for 30 years, but it's been in the business for 50. But it's really been in your family for all these generations.
Right. My sister, Gail, and her husband, James Osborne, they opened the Book Box in 1966. They actually started with boxes of books on the floor and built the shelving and built it up. And they had it for 20 years. And after 20 years, they decided to retire and moved back to where he was from, Virginia. He was part of the Appalachian culture that came to Uptown in the mid-60s, and when Uptown was full of Appalachians and American Indians, and that was quite a famous time.
Yeah, right. So talk about your, at that time, 1960s, 70s, before you got to the to Shake, Rattle, and Read, talk about what you were doing in town.
Yeah, well, I moved here in 1971. I was living out in San Francisco as a hippie, and I sold underground newspapers and underground comics like Zap, Robert Crumb type stuff, on the streets to make money. And then when the Haight-Ashbury went to hell, kind of.
right. you got out of town.
I called my sister, and I said, I have to get out of here. And she had me move to Uptown, share an apartment with her and James.
What was Uptown like? This is 1971 for you. What are the recollections?
1971 was a really rough neighborhood. It was a melting pot like it is today, but it was definitely had a lot of neglect. There was burned out cars on the corners.
A lot of those old theaters were not like the Uptown Theater, things like that.
That corner of Broadway and Lawrence has always been pretty good, but if you went deeper into the neighborhood, it was more hairy. And
so let's
It was dangerous to go over to Southport where the Music Box was back in the day.
Geez, that's that corridor.
But back when my sister was open, the Uptown Theater was open, and that's been closed since 1981. The Riviera was open, showing movies. I remember going to see the premiere of Star Wars in 1977 at the Uptown Theater.
When you came to Chicago, I mean, you didn't automatically work at the bookstore. What were you doing?
I got a job as a record clerk in record stores. The first person that hired me was Rose Records at 214 South Wabash.
Remember it well, yeah.
It was called the world's largest record store. It was three stories.
In 1986, you get the call, hey, we're going to retire. Your sister and your brother-in-law are going to retire. What drew you to saying, you know what, I want to look at the Book Box. I want to do something with it.
Well, when they offered it to me at first, I was at the Record Exchange in Evanston, and I got the call from my sister saying she'd like to offer me the store, and I passed on it at first. I couldn't imagine leaving Dempster and Chicago Avenue.
Right, right.
Beautiful up there. But they got persuasive after two or three months and made it affordable for me. So I came in on January 1st of 1986. I remember letting myself in on the New Year Day.
Let me ask you, you know, when you took over, what were you thinking about? What were you thinking about changes? What was Rick Addy's stamp going to be?
Well, I was familiar with my sister's shop. I've always been a big reader, and I believe that all arts are interconnected. So books and records, in my mind, went together. So I took a good look at her stock, and I noticed in the middle of the shop there was a lot of stuff that was just so-so. So what I did was I got rid of the whole center of the store, and I went to a record shop that had gone out of business, and I bought some record bins, and I put those in the middle of the store. And I had been collecting records since 71, so I had, 17 years worth of records in my house. I went home, and I had to seed the store with some vinyl, because it was always just books. I'd go through my collection and go, well, I don't need 10 Led Zeppelins, and I'd pull three
right.
of them.
At what point did you recognize, okay, I've got something here. People, you're grabbing a different audience that may have been coming to the Book Box before.
Right. I knew that if I changed the name and just through strength of personality, and I've been hooked up in as a DJ in Chicago. I DJed for about 30 years. So all my connections were in the music world. And I knew I could integrate that with the books and make it work. And so right away I had a sign guy make a sign for me that said Shake, Rattle, and Read. That's the name we came up with.
It's a great name.
We had a list of about 12 different names.
Do you remember the ones that didn't make it?
No, but I remember sitting with John Cusack in the basement of the Smart Bar, and we were coming up with some really funny names. And he came up with one from a Mexican whorehouse. And we almost used that name. It was so funny.
It really changed the dynamic of the record store or the bookstore. I mean, the idea was it was a bookstore, but then by adding the records, adding the rock and roll, what kind of clientele? I mean, how did you get people to uptown to your shop?
Well, luckily, I was right near the Green Mill. I was right near the Riviera and the Aragon Ballroom.
So being close to those places.
Being close to those places, oh, I knew I could tap into that audience and get noticed.
So, like before a show, after a show?
Before shows, after shows, meeting the bands. And I still had, I'd known Jerry Michelson from Jam since 1973. I could get in, I could get backstage, I could get out cards, I could get these people to come to my shop. A lot of the bands since I took over have come to the store.
You really did turn it into almost like a pop culture museum.
That's kind what of Timothy Leary called it.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. Like
when
so
he
many
came to see me. I've always loved magazines. I remember the giant magazine stores downtown on the streets and the newspapers.
What did I mean? Was
so
that the intention?
I got into
was that
this thing where pre eBay that I knew I could sell back issues of English rock and roll papers. I could sell back issues of fashion magazines like Italian Vogue magazines from the 60s and 70s. And I know a lot of people were just tossing this stuff, and I was grabbing it. So if it had a pop culture reference or a great cover, I would use that. I wouldn't take Home and Garden magazine, right, or Aquarium magazine, or
it was pop art
cooking magazine.
I mean, it's just a resurgence of that.
It had to do with pop culture, be it fashion, art, music, etc.
So you say pre eBay. I mean, did the internet and eBay and other places like that, did they take over the need for a Shake, Rattle, and Read? I mean, can you get all that stuff online, or do you really need something like your store to almost immerse yourself in the experience?
No, in a way, it finally took over in the last 5 years.
You saw a drop?
Oh, yeah, I noticed that nowadays young people come in. They do it with books. They do it with records, anything that's in the store. And they use the store as window shopping.
Yeah.
And they whip out their phones and they price check everything. So if I have a book on display on the Beatles, and I have it priced at $20, and they see they can get it on Amazon for $16 or $14, they'll save it to their phone and order it when they get home. You know.
Well, for you, I mean, you had to make the decision here to close up shop. And it's tough because there's not a lot of stores like yours in Chicago anywhere anymore, but especially in Chicago in the uptown neighborhood. You've seen so much change with the way from the first days of coming to Chicago in 1971, opening up shop in 1986. When you think about life without Shake, Rattle, and Read, what comes to mind?
Oh, I think it's going to be sad, but it's really hard to keep a physical store going. People don't browse like they used to. Someone will walk in and they'll want a book by David Foster Wallace, like Infinite Jest, very popular. And if I don't have it, well, they're not interested in browsing. They'll just, okay, and then they'll just order it off their phone, you know. Now in Chicago, Amazon has one-hour deliveries. This internet thing has pretty much impacted my business on a lot of different levels. DVDs, I could sell used DVDs a lot, or VHSs even. That's now taken over by Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime, where I used to sell used CDs quite a lot. That's been taken over by Spotify and Pandora and all the free streaming
services. Well, I mean, it's
services.
Your career, you know, you started managing record stores like Rose Records, which is bygone era. And now in the bookstores, especially the ones that have a little bit of pop culture quirk to them, they seem to be a different era. What are we going to miss? What do we miss as a society without the bookstores? What are we going to?
Yeah, that's
what's the loss?
My place was a place everybody could come in and hang up their posters for dance, for theater, for film. You're going to miss that sense of community. Yeah, it's going to be sad when all the stores are gone and everybody's just shopping online.
Let me ask you about Chicago.
Uh-huh.
You left San Francisco, came here in 1971. I mean, you've been a small business owner since 1986. When you think about Chicago, what does the city mean to you?
I love a lot about Chicago. The restaurants, the people. That's what I love about Uptown so much. It's really unlike any other neighborhood in the city. It's more like New York City than any other neighborhood because of the diversity.
You straddle both. I mean, you're a small business owner who deals with records and rock and roll and bookstores, but you also are an advocate and a promoter for the neighborhood. The neighborhood has seen growth and is in a peculiar time right now, but it seems like there's a lot of flux and it's not necessarily in a positive direction. What's your take on Uptown, where it's at right now?
Yeah, I say as much as things change, a lot of it stays the same. What's killing a lot of people right now is the Wilson L renovation, which is going to be wonderful when it's done. It's the second most money they've ever spent on an L stop. It's $240 million. So that's going to change the face of Wilson and Broadway. And then they're going to come down and close my stop for 3 years, the Lawrence Avenue stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real challenge right now to get through this. If I wasn't 64 years old, if I had another 7 to 10 years to give it, well, the whole neighborhood might look completely different. Mm-hmm. In that entertainment district might happen. It probably will happen.
Rick Addy is the owner and operator of Shake, Rattle, and Read, also known as the Book Box. It's closing its doors in Uptown coming up the end of May, right?
That's right. We're going to close May 31st.
So you got a couple months here before the store goes out of business. A real part and piece of Chicago history. Rick, thanks for coming in and talking to us.
Oh, you're welcome.